So, Emilio, you've got 7 months of sobriety right now. What are
Amen.
your what is your steps and your plans to continue in that path? What changes have you made this time that's going to make that better than the past times?
Yes. Thank you for that question. And the gospel truth for me is setting up rituals, right? Rituals create our lives. And before I didn't really have any of those set in stone. And so recognizing that I start my day, I don't get out of bed spiritually naked. So that's my thing. So whatever, whoever you are and you're struggling, whoever your higher power is. So for me, I get on my knees, right? For you, it could be meditation. It could be praying to whoever, whatever your spiritual flavor, it doesn't matter. But just know that we're spiritual beings having this human experience, right? It's been said over and over again. And I didn't quite really believe that. And until I really started to embrace that, that was the game changer for me. So that right there is what I live by. And again, it sets the tone for everything else. I go ahead, I jump on a meeting. I want to say in the last 7 months, if you know anything about the recovery, for those of you that are out there challenging, they tell you in AA, make 90 meetings in 90 days, right? Meeting meeker, meeting meter, what is it? Meeting people will go to meetings, make it. Well, I was like, yeah, I'll do 90 days. I did it, right? And then I recognized it became such a habit. I think I might have been in 7.5 months. I might have missed like four or five. I just realized like I needed this. Like this helped me what's called keep it green. Like hearing other people's story after 5 years falling back, 6 years, and then hearing stories about we don't heal in secret, right? Shared pain is less pain. And what I do is I take notes. And that's the thing that I needed to jumpstart my day. And then when I find myself, again, it's different for everyone else, right? So I just know God grant me the serenity. The serenity prayer has saved me just with my own wife, right? Because what happens is we become resentful. And one of the things I'll share is resentment is the number one offender that takes people out. Okay? So you ask me, what am I doing differently? I'm very careful for resentment, right? I don't let it fester. I take what's called a moral inventory at the end of the night. I'll always say to myself, did I think that I hurt, did I verbalize any harm to anyone? And boy, God has a funny way of just bringing it right up. The minute those words come out, I know exactly who I have to make an amends to, right? And so it's all about making an amends whenever it's safe to do so. A lot of times my amends, and for those of you out there that are challenged, it's going to be for those people you love. I'm like, I said something to my wife, and I shouldn't have. And I find myself, it's rarely, Josh, anyone outside of our circle. It's always someone that we care about. Our son, our daughter, they didn't live up to my expectations. They should have did this. If I paid for that event, I want to freaking acknowledge. So you see where I'm going with it? So getting in the morning, that ritual, starting off with prayer, meditation, and some physicality, that sets the tone. If I don't do that, I know my day is off.
Yeah, I can see that. And you talked about the amends that we have to make, and it's usually the people we love. Why do we do that, man? We always hurt the people. Like we're kinder to strangers than we are to our own family sometimes. What is
Isn't
wrong
that
with us,
something?
man?
Isn't that, yeah, brother. And expectations, right? So what I've also learned in these last 7 months, Josh, and you help me out here, if this is the same thing for you, that when I put high expectations on someone, my serenity is down, right? So that's what I've discovered. Not that I let people off the hook, like that I'm not going to expect them to do, give me their best if I'm paying for a product or service. But I find today, and I haven't always done this, like, you know what? I'm here with Josh. It's his show. If Josh wants me to tell me I need to begin the show this way, if Josh needs to, it's not my show. It's Josh's show. He's got his audience, right? So as long as I don't put any expectations on, well, I need to be introduced this way, Josh. You know what I mean? And then you don't introduce me that way. So it's just understanding that the more expectations we place on people, the lower our serenity. That's why it's day by day, right? Live life on life's term.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And that's the thing. A lot of times expectations, and it's okay to have expectations from time to time. You know, like you said, you want to hold people accountable to the things that you, but we have a tendency to have expectations that we didn't clearly communicate for one thing. Right. Cause you know, if you don't tell people what you expect of them, then they can't deliver. And then sometimes we don't give people the opportunity to say, I think those expectations are unreasonable.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Amen. You know, I love the way you said that. It reminds me of the late Zig Ziglar, who I had an opportunity to learn from when I was in my the early 20s. It's like when I was 21, I went to my first personal development seminar in Philadelphia. And Zig Ziglar had a saying. Let me see. His mom told him. His mom was a school teacher, by the way. And he would use that for entrepreneurs. Let's see. Inspect what you expect, right? So that was a great thing. So I've learned that managerial style that when I want something or expect something, hey, Josh, listen, I'm going to be on at 12 o'clock. But by the way, before then, I'm going to give you a 15-minute. I'm going to check in 15 minutes to check in with you. Is that okay? So, you know, look out for my, you see that? So I love what you said. Because it reminds me of, again, what Zig Ziglar said.
I love it. Zig Ziglar was a neat guy, man. so much in, you know, like, and it was always like, not, like very quotable quotes all the time. You know, like it was good chunks of wisdom that we can apply. You know.
Yeah, it's funny. I had what you said that quote. I had Zig Ziglar life book of big quotes, and this was given to me by one of his coaches. There are many reasons why people justify for not taking action. Not wanting it bad enough is one of them.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. So, you know, that kind of brings us into that realm of personal development, because I know that's kind of, you know, a lot of what we do with Manlyhood is trying to help men become even better men. So, let's say that there's a guy out there who's listening and, you know, he's like, okay, I know that I want to become better. I know I want to become a better version of myself. I know that I'm destined to do good things, but I'm just kind of stuck, you know, because how many times do we do that? Right. So what advice do you have for those guys? What would you tell those guys?
Wow. Amen, brother. Yeah. Great question. You know, they say that there's two types of pain in life, right? There is the pain of regret. Is one of them, right? The pain of regret and the pain of discipline. And the pain of regret weighs, really, the pain of discipline weighs ounces as opposed to the pain of regret, which weighs a ton. So there's something that you know, whatever that's coming up in you that you know you should be doing, the first thing is admitting to yourself that there's a challenge, there's a pain point in your life. Reach out to Josh. Reach out to his community. Reach out to me. I'm sure my information will be made available there after the podcast. But understand, imagine how much further and faster you can go, right, if you flew with the right tribe. That's a quote from my good friend, Austin J. Haynes. So whatever it is you want in life, you've got to be a part of a community. Don't go at it alone.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And I think of the guys in my life that are always challenging me, you know, and if I didn't have that, and that's the thing too, like even kind of as a leader in this Manlyhood movement, you know,
yeah.
I recognize all the time when I'm messing up, I'm letting these guys down, you know, like they're counting on me, and that holds me accountable as well, because I, you know, just, you know, if you're a father, your kids are counting on you. If you're a husband, your wife is counting on you to lead, to do well, to be the best version of you.
Yeah, amen, brother, amen. And, you know, that just reminded me of a term in sociology, and I remember this because it was on my test. There's a term called social facilitation in sociology, and that means that you and I perform better when people are watching us, right? So, for example, that's why when you work out at home, you can do whatever you want. Nobody cares. But when you go to the gym, you know it's a big projection, right? You got to have some people got to – they got to work out. They got to have the right shoes on because people are looking. So we do perform better in our personal and professional lives when we are around a team. Because like you said earlier, when someone is pushing you, when someone is there to help you, you sometimes, not sometimes, but the majority of the time, you don't want to let them down. Like, because it's easy to let you and me down, right, Josh? Mm-hmm. Right? It's easy to let, so all of a sudden, like, if when you say, hey, Emilio, here's the link, I'm like, oh, man, I got that today with Josh? Man, maybe I'll just cancel. But I'm like, no, man, Josh already promoted me. He's already got this going. I can't let Josh down. You see that? So it's that community and just knowing that. So get around. Again, it comes back to don't do this alone. Don't do this in a silo.
Yeah. Well, and the other end of it, you talked about the pain of discipline, right? And it's smaller in comparison to the pain of regret, you know?
Yeah.
We will hold on to those things in life that are like, you know, oh man, like I just want to sleep in today. I don't want to get up. I don't want to get moving. You know, I don't want to do this thing. And like, who cares what you want? you can have your cake and eat it too. Like I want cake and I want to eat it, you know, just because you want it doesn't mean that you get it or that you should have it. You know, let's look at that. Like, I want $1 million, you know, and it'd be nice to have $1 million and I'll work hard to try to get that someday. But just because you want it doesn't make it happen.
Yeah. Amen, brother. And it sounds like what you're saying also is clarity, right? A friend of mine, Austin J. Haynes, speaks about the middle of the night clarity. So if I woke you up, right, at 2 o'clock or midnight, right, and I say, Josh, you know, what do? Right. So we should all have a personal and a professional mission statement. So really take time. If you don't already have this, you should really focus on your own personal mission statement. And typically they begin with I help or I serve, I support. Right. So a personal mission statement. So if you don't mind, I like to share my mission statement for my business. So just to lay an example, is that okay to do?
Please do.
Thank you. So, for example, when I'm asked somewhere, hey, Emilio, what do you do? Right? We're all men here, and many of us are entrepreneurs. So when I meet someone, it's like, what do you do, Emilio? And I'm like, I serve. There you go. I'm laughing. I'm thinking about two things at one time, brother.
I got you.
So I help spiritual entrepreneurs create authority and prosperity. So you see that? Pretty straightforward. Now, notice it's pretty memorable, right? I help spiritual entrepreneurs create authority and prosperity. Notice it's not long, because if I asked you, Josh, for your mission statement, and I kind of know what you're doing, it has to lead into the question of what's called the $1 million answer. Like, and how do you do that, Emilio, right? You've got to create some intrigue, and it's got to really speak to you, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that does make sense. I actually talk about this a lot, because I say that you need to have your purpose, your mission, your vision, and your values all written out. PMVV. I actually wrote about it in a book called Core Ops. And because I looked at, like, okay, so every military service, right, has their core ops, their core operating procedures that identify how they operate and why they operate. And so, you know, I think every person needs to have that. Yeah. And you're right. And from a personal level too, you know, because if you don't understand your purpose, why you exist, then you will never understand your mission of what you're here to do, you know? And if you don't understand any of that, you know, if you don't understand your values, then you're not going to know how you're going to do it. And honestly, I think your identity is closely rooted to those things as well. You know, like who you are connects with what you do and why you do it. It all connects together. You need to know it.
Amen, brother. No, that's great. No, I love what you're saying. I can go off on a tangent, but as entrepreneurs and as men of, you know, when speaking on the business side, and if you don't mind me sharing this, when I meet someone, an author and their speaker, and they want to leverage up and they want to promote themselves, I ask the same question all the time. And it's kind of surprising. Like, okay, who's your avatar? Who's your ideal client, right? Some people look at me like, yeah, I keep hearing this. Why is that important? Like, I got people telling me, stop telling me I need that. I keep reading about it. And I'm like, yeah, I said, it's quite simple. Because once you know who your avatar is or your ideal client, now you know where they eat, shit, and sleep. Doesn't that make sense? I said, now when someone is trying to get your marketing dollars, to advertise with them, you can clearly say, this is my client, this is who they are, do you service this industry? No, thank you. See, but until you get that middle of the night clarity, again, if I woke you up at midnight, hey, Josh, who's your client? What do you do? And if you don't have that, you're going to suffer.
Yeah, 100%. It matters. And, you know, and again, that even applies to you if you are just a regular guy who's working a job, right? Still the same thing. Who do you serve? Who are you trying to help? And I think for most of us, like that first level on the personal side is even our family, you know, like, I'm here to love my wife and to raise my kids and to help my grandkids. And, you know, we've got to, you know, be aware of that, you know, like if a guy's working a job, you know, as a welder, he's working that job so that he can provide a home for his family. And then what happens is somewhere he loses sight of it. And then he works so much overtime, he never sees his family. And, you know, that happens, man. We gotta get that focus and that clarity of who you're supposed to be serving and why.
Amen. Amen. Absolutely love it, man. I love the content, the way you position this and the dialogue that we've been having. Absolutely love this conversation. Yeah. Somebody will be served.
I appreciate it very much, man. So we're at that point in the interview, Emilio, where I like to ask all my guests a few questions. And sure. I really think you'll have a neat perspective on this. So what does it take to be a man?
What does it take? Wow. Well, it certainly takes more than just someone who yells, someone who screams, someone who's, you know, leads with, you know, bravo. It takes more than that. It really, in my opinion now, takes someone who can own up to his mistakes and say, listen, I screwed up. I'm sorry. What can I do to make it right? So people are tired of hearing Emilio Roman saying, I'm sorry because I pissed him off because I was drinking. They're tired of that. My wife is tired of me saying, I'm not going to do it again. What do I got to do to make it right?
Taking that ownership and responsibility, man. Good. All right. Let's say you're able to hop in the DeLorean with a flux capacitor and go back to, I'm thinking based on the age you told me, so probably around 1980-ish, right? And talk to 10-year-old Emilio Roman. What are you going to tell him?
Well, you know, because now I'm here and I have my grandbabies, I would really tell young Emilio, trust his gut, right? Listen to mommy, listen to daddy, listen to what the rules are, but listen to your gut. If something feels unsafe, I apologize for the coughing. If something feels unsafe, doesn't feel right, make sure that you listen to that inner child, that inner voice of yours, because 9 out of 10 times, that's the right thing.
Yeah. Awesome. You know, I know that in my life, I've seen that so many times, right? You meet somebody and you're like, there's something not right here. Yeah. And, you know, you don't want to be the judgmental guy that's like assuming more than you should. But yeah, there's like a superpower. When you've got trauma in your life, you have like a superpower to be able to identify people who are in the same kind of trauma and situation that you've been in.
Yeah.
So I get that. And that listening to your gut, man. Sometimes my gut tells me the wrong things, though. It's like, go get a candy bar, man. And I'm like, no, nothing right. It's the wrong gut.
I love it. I love it. Great.
Oh, okay. So the men that are listening today, you know, you can picture these guys listening to the podcast while they're driving to work or whatever. What is your best advice that you have for them?
You know, I'll have to go back to life shrinks or expands according to one's courage. And I know it certainly was for me. For 5 years, Josh, I kept this book in my computer. And it wasn't until I stepped out in faith and in courage, and then everything changed for me. So again, courage, man. You got to step out in courage, whatever it is. And to tie to that is this: failure. Failure is not a person. Failure is an event. And so when you can look at it from that perspective, it's just a lesson and experience that you're going to get. And a lot of our fears, when we come out on the other side of it, it's like, oh, that's it? The last thing I'll say to that is the dreading is worse than the doing. Haven't you been there, Josh? We create this thing in our heads, and it's worse than what it actually was. It wasn't half as scary.
Yeah, all the time, man. All the time. I have projects that I'll put off because I'm like, I don't want to do that. That's going to be a nightmare of a project. And yeah. Then, you know, it takes an hour.
Yeah. And it's done.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, that's all that was? That's all that was?
And people say how great you were. Like, oh, my God, this is great. You'd be like, yeah, I've been sitting on that for 2 months.
Yeah, I've been avoiding that. The thing that you're procrastinating is probably where you're greatest strength is waiting to be kind of shown, you know?
Amen, brother. And you know, to add to that is that our message today for others to help is going to come from our mess, right? So we've heard that your mess is your message. That's how you and I are going to be able to impact and influence others, is because that's the real you. Everything else is just a facade. Hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Nobody wants to follow a hypocrite. So be who you are, man. And when I say be who you are, I'm not saying to give you permission to embrace your vice, right?
Right.
Now,
right.
You say I have this vice and I'm working to overcome it. Don't settle for it. But yeah, you're right. 100%.
Great advice. Great advice, man.
No, hey man, you're giving me advice. I'm just amplifying it a little bit, you know, putting a little, you know, the musician to me. I'm just stepping on that distortion pedal to make it a little fuzzier, you know. That's all.
Hey, man. We're, you know, iron sharpens iron, brother. We're here to support each other. And I love your community. Please, I definitely want to follow you more. I want to learn more about what you're doing. And your audience, if anybody wants to reach out to me, I make myself available when I'm not traveling or speaking. Again, I'm by no means perfect, right? But this is why we need each other.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I've been enjoying listening and learning from you as well, because, you know, I'm an author and I want to get the word out there, and seeing the work you're doing has been very encouraging and helpful to me. So let's say our listeners want to connect with you. What's the best way for them to do that?
Sure, amen. So go to emilioroman.com. Well, the first thing I would suggest is they go to you first. That's the first thing I always suggest. Go to Josh. You know, he's the host. He has a wealth of knowledge and he has a community he's building. If you feel the need to reach out to me, again, emilioroman.com, and I'll make sure that I get back. Let me know where you're coming from, because I treat things differently, right? If you're just coming from somewhere that I don't know, I'm going to get back to you when you drop Josh's name in.
I love it. I love it. Well, we'll make sure to put that link in the show notes too. So if you're listening, click down through and go through and let's support the work that Emilio is doing. So, hey man, I've appreciated this conversation very much. I'd like to have you on again sometime. So we'll be in touch. We'll have another conversation down the road.
Amen, Josh. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you for having me, brother.
All right. Thank you.
This is.